but three things.
Okay, children, let's take our seats. We have a lot to learn today.
What are we going to do?
Were you paying attention?
I anticipate a deeply religious experience.
Out, come out, wherever you are.
Okay, people, pay attention because I do not want to have to fail you.
Listen to this.
I will tell you three things.
Listen to me, please.
Pay attention.
Pay attention, son. This is for your own good.
You moron.
But you listen to me.
Listen to me.
Listen to me, Coppertop.
I'm out there on the front lines liberating people.
I keep pitching them and you keep missing them.
Hey,
listen to me, yo.
Are you ready now?
Yes.
Listen to me, please.
Three things. Three things. Three things.
Parental guidance is suggested.
Hello.
Well, hello there, all you gentle and wonderful souls. Thanks for joining me today for this episode of Three Things. I am your humble hostess, Jenna, and I welcome you. I'm very pleased to be here today to share some more tidbits that make the world go round in the lovely way that it does. So interesting, our world, isn't it? From the very, very small to the very, very large of it, the common and not so normal, the everyday and the only on special days of it. Just the whole darn package. Today, I've got some ranting to do, some bugging to do, and some fussing to do. One hopes one's listeners find what one offers to be of interest. If you do find interest in my words, or want to pitch a fit at or about them, or, say, be really nice to me, visit the homepage. That's hypertexttransfer:// worldwideweb.3wordthings.podomatic.com. That's 3things.podomatic.com. And leave me a message, send an email, phone in a comment, hey, do it however you wanna, just talk to me. It's the best way I know of to make sure I stay worth the time it takes to listen to the show. Also, I like mail. It's always exciting, isn't it? Anywho, enough of the babblemations, let's get to the show. Well, thing one for today, fast food bastards. Did you ever stop at a fast food joint, McDonald's or Wendy's and the like, or whatever's popular where you live, give your order, drive through, pay your moolah, get your food and drive away, only to realize when you settle down to eat that food that you have a huge order of potatoes and one teensy little weensy packet of ketchup? Or grab a corn dog and get your mouth all set for it, then find you have one measly little pack of mustard? Or even worse, that you have got no condiments? How about those places that have a million different sauces to offer for your chicken chunks? Honey mustard, barbecue, ketchup, ranch, buffalo, plain honey, Worcestershire, sweet and sour, salsa, whatever. And they don't give you the ones you want? Or ask you to tell them which ones, with an S, that you want, and then the bastards arbitrarily grab one and toss it in the bag, chuck it at you, and then turn away to snicker evilly into their sweaty polyester uniform collar? Well, I hear about it all the time. It's either a sign of the downfall of modern society, or a conspiracy. I'm not sure which at this point in time. This is one of those things that I wish I could procure a government grant to study. And I mean really study. I want to know how much these eensy packets really cost an establishment, and if it would really hurt them to give their customers what they want, which is lots of gooey stuff to pour over their product, because they need to drown out the flavor, generally. I want to know why the employees of these establishments don't just share the wealth. Come on, man. It doesn't come out of their pockets, does it? Are they or their families somehow threatened with harm if they give out one too many ketchups? Who's watching them? Is there a reward system offered employees if they keep condiment delivery numbers down? Are they just that loyal? Are they aliens? And hey, there's another thing that just gets my goat about places. Did you ever need a drink? Just a little water to wet your throat? Ever need a little water for a cranky baby? Or even an overheating car? And the only place near is a fast food joint or convenience store with a drink fountain, so you go inside expecting service or a helping hand, only to find you will be charged for something the Earth is made mostly of? Water? Yeah, well, I have. And being charged for water is not only insane, it's just downright mean and selfish. I understand that those paper cups must cost, what, 3 cents or so apiece, and the water itself may cost a fraction of a penny to pump in, and the ice, if you want it, might cost another fraction of a penny to produce. But is that really enough to worry about when a fellow human is in need? Will it kill a store operator to let you fill a hot car radiator when you're in need? Is water that precious? I just don't get it. I'd give anyone a drink if they needed it, and never even consider cost to myself. I figure it'll come back to me in some form, sooner or later, be it karma or an answered prayer or someone paying it forward like they saw someone else do in a film. It's okay. It's just water. And all you mean-ass merchants out there need to remember who you sell the stuff you sell to. That'd be the lady with the thirsty baby or the man with the hot car that come into your stores lots of other times for you to highway rob. Raise the price on your bananas a cent or two to pay for the water people sometimes need if you have to. But don't be a cranky hat. There's just no need. Find a way to share your humanity and your water. And as if charging for ketchup isn't enough, or water because you were jerky isn't enough, how about those air machines? You have a leaky tire that needs a bit of air in, you stop at a filling station and pull up to a little box that uses an infinitesimal amount of electricity to push air into your valve and fill your tire, and you are charged. Okay, people, it's air, and it's not fair to charge for it. It just isn't right. Also, I worry that this sort of oxygen piracy will set some sort of precedence, and that sometime in the future, societies worldwide will be taxed, parts per billion, for the air we have to breathe. That would really harsh my mellow, and harshing mellows, like charging for the fiddly bits in life, just ain't right, man. It just ain't right. So, that's how I feel about that. And now, like a good citizen that's only slightly annoying, I'm going to go write a letter to the president about this one, you darn betcha. Just as soon as I flip this button and end this segment. Thing number one for today, and that's happening right now.
Gamer staring at the TV set, play that, let me see that Genesis. Gamer staring at the TV set, play that, I wanna see that NES. Come play with me, come play with me. Some PSP, some 360, some PS3. Work them sticks, gamer. Touch all the buttons on the controller. Grab on those joysticks and give them both a twirl. I wanna see you playing on the living room floor. This here ain't luck, what you think I play so much for? And I'm just getting warmed up. It takes half a day before I get a sore butt. Clicky, 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 now I'm in the next world. Work them sticks, gamer. I wanna see that controller shake. Come to my mom's crib, we can play until daybreak. We can play until your thumbs ache. Think about that, but right now I'm gonna master the game Grand Theft Auto. You think I'm going fast now? Just wait until I hit turbo. I play in their world. Work them sticks, gamer. Gamer, staring at the TV set. Play that, let me see that Genesis. Gamer, staring at the TV set. Play that, I wanna see that NES. Come play with me, come play with me. Some PSP, some 360, some PS3. Work them sticks, gamer. Pardon all the trash talk, but sorry about your loss. I just scored a touchdown using Randy Moss. Get that internet connection and plug it on me. I'm feeling real cocky, I'll take on your friends. We can gather round my new 360. It ain't nothing to a gamer, I play on the Xbox Live a lot. I'm always in the cyber world. Work them sticks, gamer. And I'ma make them look dumb. Old granny hardcore, you don't want none. I'ma be here all night just staring at the screen. Working on my game till I'm the best on my team. Work it to the right, move your finger to the left. Work them all around till your fingertips are red. I ain't kidding you, I like Xbox more than my girl. Work them sticks, gamer. Gamer, staring at the TV set. Play that, let me see that Genesis. Gamer, staring at the TV set. Play that, I wanna see that NES. Come play with me, come. some PSP, some 360, some PS3. Word them sticks, gamer. When the game's over, you know I'm talking trash. If you wanna lose again, you can have a rematch. Geeky young girls love to watch me play in. Baby, in a month, I'll be at a tournament. I'm doing hard work when you see me on my couch. No, I don't work out. Why you think I got this pouch? And I'm not gonna budge. You never play too much. Word them sticks, gamer. Go on and put in Halo. You see that X and Y? I'ma show you what they made for. Sure, against beginners you're on D. But let me see how you play when you play against the junkie. Cause you're nothing but a rookie. I hope your butt's ready to receive this ass whooping. I'ma show you some new tricks I just learned. Word them sticks, gamer. Gamer, staring at the TV set. Play that, let me see that Genesis. Gamer, staring at the TV set. Play that, I wanna see that NES. Come play with me, come play with me. Some PSP, some 360, some PS3. Word them sticks, gamer.
It's time for the GWOD. That's the grandiloquent word of the day. This is episode number 29 of Three Things. So that means that today, that wonderful word begins with the third letter of the alphabet, since we're in our second time around, and it's the letter C. The word is chanking. It is spelled C-H-A-N-K-I-N-G, and it is a noun, and by definition, chanking is pieces of food which are rejected from what is chewed, in other words, spat out, like pits or seeds or grossy gristle. I have to admit I could find no etymology for this word, so I've not the foggiest idea whence it comes, which to me only makes it that much more interesting to know. Used in a sentence for you, but I thought that little bowl to the side was for my chanking. Yeah, well, you come up with a better sentence for that one. It ain't easy sometimes, folks. At least I admit it. Okay, so you know I'm going to tell you to visit the Grandiloquent Dictionary online. The link is to be found on the links button on the main page of this show at http://3wordthings.podomatic.com. Said button can be found down and to the right. Click it. Just do it. It's a fun place to visit and learn some neat stuff. Love learning neat stuff. And hey now, that little bowl is for your fingers, not your chewed up stuff, okay? GWOD, Grandiloquent Word of the Day, today, August the 11th, 2006. Letter C, chanking, and I'm done. Thing number two for today. Watching wrestling encourages violence in adolescence. Yeah, big surprise there. Some call it the male soap opera, but wrestling is more than men in tights fighting each other in steel cages. A new study shows wrestling is associated with violent behavior in adolescence. A recent study published by researchers at Wake Forest University School of Medicine in Winston-Salem, North Carolina, shows the more an adolescent watched wrestling, the more they would engage in violence, like physically or verbally abusive treatment of a date, called date violence. Researchers asked a random sample of 2,238 North Carolina high school students how many times they had watched wrestling in the past 2 weeks. Among males, 24.6% had watched six or more times in the past 2 weeks, and among females, 9.1% had watched as heavily. The researchers say adolescents who watch wrestling are exposed to a high frequency of violence between men and women, alcohol use, hearing women referred to as bitch or hoe, verbal abuse, and physical abuse. The researchers report wrestling had a stronger impact on females, interestingly enough, and the relationship between watching wrestling on television and being the perpetrator of date violence was stronger among females. Lead author of the study, Robert H. Durant, Ph.D., professor of pediatrics at Brenner Children's Hospital in Winston-Salem, said, by the time they hit adolescence, males have chosen to watch more violence than females do. The males are probably more desensitized to this than females because the females have a lesser history of watching violent media. Dr. Durant expressed his concern regarding the high level of violence that is portrayed on TV without any of the expected consequences occurring. He said this happens too often. During one wrestling match, a man dangled a woman upside down and then dropped her on her head, supposedly knocking her unconscious. In reality, I know this act would have probably broken her neck and killed her, he said. While Dr. Durant admits wrestling doesn't cause violence, he does say violence on television can affect what is perceived as socially acceptable behavior. If you don't like it as a parent, call or write the FCC, said Dr. Durant. Talk to them or write to them. Let them know. And that's not the only interesting study of teenagers released of late. Here's another about how sexually explicit music has been linked to sexuality in teens. And I don't think I'm surprised at that one either. According to a recently released study, teenagers who listen to music with sexually explicit lyrics are more likely to engage in sexual intercourse than those who don't listen to such music. The study is the first to document the behavioral patterns of teens who listen to degrading, quote-unquote, music. Regardless of whether the music is pop, rock, hip-hop, or rap, the lyrics and sexual overtones of the music appear to influence behavior. As reported, songs depicting men as sex-driven studs, women as sex objects, and with explicit references to sex acts are more likely to trigger early sexual behavior than those where sexual references are more veiled and relationships appear more committed, the study found. ABC News reports some of these findings, saying teens who said they listened to lots of music with degrading sexual messages were almost twice as likely to start having intercourse or other sexual activities within the following 2 years as were teens who listened to little or no sexually degrading music. Among heavy listeners, 51% started having sex within 2 years versus 29% of those who said they listened to little or no sexually degrading music. While the study appears to be quite damning towards the music industry, IOL quotes Yvonne Fulbright, a New York-based sex researcher and author, as questioning how much blame the music should receive. It's a little dangerous to pinpoint just one thing. You have to look at everything that's going on in a young person's life. When somebody has a healthy sense of themselves, they don't take these lyrics too seriously. Fulbright went on to add, a healthy home atmosphere is one that allows a child to investigate what pop culture has to offer and at the same time say, I know this is a fun song, but you know that it's not right to treat women this way, or this isn't a good person to have as a role model. That study, conducted by the RAND Corporation, will appear in the August issue of Pediatrics. The sample size for the survey was 1,461 participants, ranging in age from 12 to 17. The study was conducted through three interviews in 2001, 2002, and 2004. At the time of the original 2001 survey, most of the participants were still virgins. Well, that's what they say about that. I say, if you don't like it, then parent your kids and don't let them watch it or listen to it. Parent is not only a noun, as in something you can go get, person, place, thing. It is also a verb, and a verb is an action word. Parenting sometimes means taking action. It won't hurt you to do it, and it can only help your kids. Your kids that may just grow up to be the next leaders of this world. Do you want them to be pugilistic and unfair? Do you want them to be good and kind people that use their heads? Do you want your kids to have kids? Would you want to find out one day that your child has a sexually transmitted disease? If the former, go ahead. Let them watch the violent fakery and listen to the music that degrades girls and cheapens the meaning of life and love. Just keep them off my streets when they get big enough to hurt someone or have sex. And if you want them to grow good and kind and clean and whole, Yes, I'm going to say it. Parent them with love and respect and a hard line. They will appreciate it, and so will lots of other folk. Think about it at least, will ya? Now, I'm going to hop off of this high horse and let it cool down a bit, and I'm not going to put it up wet or call it mean things. And speaking of things, that's thing number two today, completo.
Hey, how y'all doing? I'm President Bubba, and I'm fixing government. What's that mean to you? Big savings. Yep, every stupid thing the government ever bought and never used is going to be sold below cost. Way below cost. Why? Because you won't believe what we paid for it in the first place. Bring in the first item, Tipper. Look at here. It's a combination airplane speedboat that our U.S. Marines swore up and down they just couldn't do without. Never been used. Price tag says $27 billion. It's yours for $1.29.
What a piece of junk.
And here's another government surplus item that looked real good on paper back when we thought we had the money to pay for it. Solid platinum toilet seats. Use them in the home. Use them in the office. Heck, hang one from your neck and start a rap group for all I care. Get them 3 for a quarter while the incredible supplies last. You cannot afford to miss President Bubba's government surplus sale. Where else can you pay so little for something you already paid way too much for?
And thing number three. Okay, I love bugs, right? I mean, they are some of the most interesting things, are they not? The things they do, the way they look, their alien societies, it's all quite fascinating to me, and I figured I would share some of the reasons why. For instance, did you know that insects hold their breath for days because air could kill them? Scientists have known that some insects can hold their breath for hours or even days. And a new study suggests why. Too much air would kill them. Insects breathe in and out of holes, called spiracles, all over their bodies. Some insects close the holes now and then. Scientists had thought maybe they stopped breathing to limit water loss or to adapt to environments loaded with carbon dioxide, but no solid evidence supported either idea. The new study suggests that while oxygen is vital to an insect, too much can damage tissue. The opening and closing of spiracles is controlled in a way that exhales carbon dioxide as needed without inhaling too much oxygen. It's been found that insects pack the equivalent of lungs into much of their bodies. Tubes of air branch throughout the body, an efficient breathing system for energetic critters. The setup transfers air and carbon dioxide in and out more than 100 times faster than doing it through blood as with humans. Previously, physiologists have reasoned that the spiracles open during exercise to provide more oxygen, but we would argue that they open because they are released from their need to close. Now scientists provide compelling evidence that insects manage the breathing not so much to acquire oxygen as to avoid it, said Thorsten Bermster of the Institute of Zoology at the University of Mainz in Germany. I am mostly pretty glad that insects don't breathe much because about 80% of the Earth's animals are insects and they would use a heck of a lot of my air, right? Here are some more really neat things about insects for you to mull over. Biggest bug in the world? Why, it's the Goliath beetle, which can weigh up to 3.5 ounces, or about 100 grams, and be 4.5 inches long, or almost 12 centimeters. Now that's just huge. What's the reason for that? Beautiful butterflies belong, along with moths, to an order called Lepidoptera, and the female Queen Alexander butterflies from Papua New Guinea are the largest in the world, some with wingspans larger than 26 centimeters or 10 and a quarter inches. Wowza! And the Atlas moth, one of the largest silk moths, is so large it is often mistaken for a medium-sized bat in the air. And just two more things about the lovely Lepidoptera. Night butterflies have ears on their wings so they can avoid bats, and butterflies can see the colors red, green, and yellow. Warlike wasps occasionally feed on ferment, get drunk, and pass out. like Uncle Bob. Busybody bees travel an average of 1,600 round trips in order to produce 1 ounce of honey, up to 6 miles or 9.66 kilometers per trip. To produce 2 pounds or 91 kilograms of honey, bees travel a distance equal to 4 times around the earth. Also, honeybees have hair on their eyes. Meanwhile, mosquitoes are attracted to the color blue more than any other color, so the next time you go jogging or picnicking or to the park or lake to walk the doggy, remember that. Concerning creepy cockroaches, which however disgusting are super interesting, check this out. The earliest fossil cockroach is about 280 million years old. That's 80 million years older than the first dinosaurs. They can live up to 9 days without their heads, and scientists have actually performed brain surgery on cockroaches. Also, did you know that if a cockroach breaks its leg, it can grow another one? Mm-hmm. And about ants? Well, they don't sleep, which bothers me on a very deep level because for every human in the world, there are 1 million ants. That's way too many creatures awake while I sleep. I just don't like that idea. And it'll never go away either. Did you know that a leafcutter ant queen mates only once, just before establishing her new colony, and she can keep the sperm viable for up to 15 years and produce as many as 300 million offspring? Mm-hmm. And about the alarming arachnids, of the 35,000 species of spiders, only 27 species are known to have caused human fatalities. Spiders usually have 8 eyes, but they still cannot see that well. Certain female species of spiders, such as the Australian crab spider, sacrifice their bodies as a food source for their offspring. That makes them pretty good moms as far as I'm concerned. Plus, did you know that fried spiders taste like nuts? They really do. Really. Still though, it's a spider. I did it. I ate one. One. Let me repeat that. One. Gushy garden worms have 5 pairs of hearts. Talk about romantic. And how about this interesting bit of info? There is only one insect in all the world that can turn its head. Which one, you might ask? Well, I'll answer. The praying mantis. If all the insects in the world were put on a scale, they would outweigh all other creatures. Fly fast, mate quickly, and die young. If mayflies had a motto, that would probably be it. That's because these elegant insects have among the shortest adult lives of any insect. Indeed, scientists have named this group of insects Ephemeroptera, Latin for short-lived flyer. Researchers believe the record for the shortest adult lifespan belongs to the female mayfly, called Dahlonia americana. After spending a year or more on the bottom of a stream in its aquatic nymph form, it emerges as a flying adult and lives for less than 5 minutes. During its brief adult life, the mayfly must find a mate, copulate, and lay its eggs back into the water from which it came. That is approximately how long it took you to listen to this segment, thing number 3, today. If you are a mayfly, sorry, but that was your life, and it's over.
What do you want to do tonight?
The same thing we do every night, Pinky. Try to take over the world.
The Pinky and the Brain. Yes, Pinky and the Brain. One is a genius, the other's insane. They're laboratory mice, the genes can't entice. The Pinky and the Brain. Brain, 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 brain. Before each night is done, their plan will be unfurled by the dawning of the sun. They'll take over the world, the Pinky and the Brain. Yes, Pinky and the Brain. Their twilight campaign is easy to explain. To prove their mousy worth, they'll overthrow the earth. The Pinky and the Brain. Brain, 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 brain.
Starve!
Thank you.
So there you go. Bugs, huh? Burger flippers, eh? Costly water? Harumph, I say. Just harumph. I pray you enjoyed hearing today's show as much as I enjoyed bringing it to you. That is your host, PJ, whatever you want to call me, just don't call me late for supper, Jenna. We'll do it again next week on Friday, August the 18th, and I hope you come back and listen. Heck, bring a friend with you, or even just tell them, psst, hey, 3things.podomatic.com. That's right. In the meantime, go to a search engine on the web, type in something you're curious about, and get some learning. It's always good. And if you learn something new, you have something new to teach. That, as I am wont to say, is just the bestest thing to do just ever. So then, until next we meet, my pretties, share some air, give a thirsty man a drink, count your condiments before you pull away, and always, and I mean always, remember to forgive yourself and be happy. Good day.
Thank you.
Bye now.
Bye.
Goodbye.
Thank you. Goodbye.
Does this mean we're not friends anymore?
I'll be back.
Well, goodbye. And don't think it hasn't been a little slice of heaven, because it hasn't.
Goodbye.
Bye-bye.
Thank you for coming. I'll see you in hell.
You dudes get lost now here.
That's it, man. Game over, man. Game over.
Good night, ladies.
Good night, sir.
Hasta la vista, baby.
We came, we saw, we kicked its ass.
Okay, love you, bye-bye.
We could chat longer, but I'm having an old friend for dinner. Bye.
Well, I can't do any more damage around this popsicle stand.
I'm out of here!
Now go away or I shall taunt you a second time.
This has been a most unusual day.
What turn it off, man?
Y'all come back here.
Initiating shutdown sequence.
I'm out of here.